Our text is from Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse 17. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. It was early on a Saturday morning. I was in sixth grade. My little eight-year-old sister was sitting with me as we were watching cartoons, probably Roadrunner, my favorite at the time. And suddenly there was a knock at our door, and a man came to the door and stepped into our living room and began yelling for my father. It seemed that he was probably half intoxicated, this man, not my father. And as he was yelling, he began using obscenities, about every nasty word you could imagine, including taking the Lord's name in vain, as he waited for my dad to show up. And I could hear my dad get up and come out into the living room with his pajamas on. And as he approached this man, here was my dad, this wonderful, peaceful Christian man, and had shown such gentleness and so on throughout his life toward me and in my family life. And I remember often thinking about my dad. You know, if my dad ever had to get into a physical confrontation, could he do it? He's just so passive and so kind of kind-hearted. Well, the man kept screaming obscenities, and my father went up and put his hand over the man's mouth and grabbed him by the coat, kicked open the front door, and like an empty pop can, threw him out on our front yard. And he said, "Don't you dare come into my house using that kind of language." And I remember sitting there, probably shaking, and thinking to myself, "All right, Dad." The Spanish artist El Greco has a painting of our Lord Jesus as he's cleansing the temple with his arm upraised and with a whip in his hand and people running in fear away from him. It may seem like an image of Christ that seems a little bit odd to us. We're told, however, in the book of Matthew, in the cleansing of the temple, that Christ drove out the money changers and overturned their tables. There is a time and a place for taking action, sometimes even physical and maybe even violent action. And yet, just days later, that same Christ who does that in the temple is lying stretched out on the ground on top of the wood of the cross, and as the Roman soldiers are unjustly pounding thick nails through his wrist, as he's experiencing that pain and injustice, he prays for their forgiveness. We live in a world today where there's a great vacuum of peace. There's just a lot of trouble and disturbance around us. And it's a society that we live in that actually kind of enjoys and flaunts conflict. Just look in the political arena. Just think of the ads that fly back and forth, the harshness, the bitterness, the attacks on people's personal lives and so on. And this is a pattern and a form of instruction that we live in this world. And it taps into something inside of us. There's a sinful streak inside of all of us that kind of enjoys this. And Hollywood knows this about us. Hollywood loves to set up a movie plot in such a way to tap into this sense of twisted justice, of a vengeful justice inside of us to somehow have someone go and handle things themselves. There's a great tendency inside of us, because of our sinful human nature, to repay evil with evil. And we all want our pound of flesh. And it doesn't always have to be a big thing or a physical thing. If your roommate came in too late last night, making too much noise and woke you up, oh, I can't wait to get up in the morning at 6:30 and bang my dresser drawers so that she or he knows what they did to me last night. The book of Proverbs says this for us: "Do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you also become like him." Now, the believers in Rome in the first century had these same urges in them as we do today. They had the same sinful streak that oftentimes would want to repay evil with evil. And Paul knows that they live in a time when they may not be popular, and in fact, just in a decade or so, they would be facing great persecution right there in their own city. Talk about having enemies. And Paul gives them now, through his instruction, a very different approach and a very unique approach, which is so contrary to this typical worldly thinking that just infects our culture. And basically it is this: before you act hastily with someone, even an enemy, even someone who has unjustly done something wrong to you, screen your thoughts and your words and your attitude toward that person through the cross. Consider, if you will, how patient and long-suffering the God of heaven has been with you and me in our lives. Just think of the list of rebellion that could be listed off just from my life, just in the past month, toward God. All of the reasons that God could easily have, in great justice, to crush me and to come down and just destroy me and to pay me back and to truly give me and you what we deserve. Sometimes a veterinarian who has committed his entire life to taking care of animals and wanting to help them and heal them has to go into a room with an animal that is hurt or injured that he knows he can help, and yet that animal is full of nothing but rage and wants to act out and respond against this help and wants to harm him. But the heart of the veterinarian committed to his cause continues to try to help and take care of that animal. So it is with our gracious God. He comes at us wanting nothing but what's best for us, to take us to heaven. And yet we are fighting against him in rage with all of our sinfulness and rebellion. And yet he still works with us, he still keeps coming back to us, and he still loves us. He has deliberately chosen to take the path of peace rather than revenge on you and me. And he has chosen to act toward us with a heart of reconciliation, even when we didn't want it. Even while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God has overcome your and my evil with the good of his Son. And think of it, even now as a Christian, you belong to him, you have faith in him, you're looking forward to going to heaven, and you still rebel. We still act out against God in our lives. But how does he treat us? He comes back to us every day through his word and forgives us. He acts so long-suffering toward us. He gives us his gracious meal of Christ's body and blood to reassure us that we're forgiven, that we are his children. He continues to have his benediction pronounced over us. So St. Paul is inviting the Romans and us to consider this wonderful cross of Christ as we look at the relationships in our lives. And not to simply let the cross be something we hang on our neck or hang on our wall, or put on our t-shirts, but to have it be evidenced in our conversation and in the way that we treat one another. And to handle things in our lives, even when someone has unjustly acted toward us in evil, to handle things according to the path of peace and patience. And this might even have an evangelistic impact as we display the gospel through our actions. Our text says, "In so doing, you will heap coals of fire on the head of your enemy." St. Augustine commented on these words. He says, "By these kinds of actions," in other words, showing love to your enemies, "we induce him who injured us to repent of his actions, and thus we benefit him. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." God has won over your heart and mine, not by pressure and force, but by loving you and by giving you peace with him. And let us now live our earthly lives representing the ultimate peacemaker, our Lord Jesus Christ, as we look forward to going to the home of final and everlasting peace. Amen.